Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today's gospel comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it's actually a very, very special passage. It's a very unique passage, believe it or not. It's actually the only time that we hear in all of the Gospels where Jesus rejoiced. That's weird, isn't it? Like in all of the Gospels, you would think we would have heard about Jesus rejoicing. But for some reason, the Gospel writer in this specific situation tells us that Jesus rejoiced. We actually, if you think about the Gospels, we hear a lot about like the sorrows of Jesus and like the grief that he endured. You know, how he like wept over the city of Jerusalem. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, how he was filled like with sorrow and anguish on his way to the cross. But here we're given kind of that contrast of Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit. And even the English like translation is kind of an understatement. The proper way to kind of read this is not that he was just like rejoicing, is that he was overjoyed. He was so filled with joy. The Greek tells us that he was like he leapt for joy. He was so excited. He was leaping with joy. What makes it, like, what is so specific about this situation that St. Luke tells us Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit? What is he trying to highlight today? The answer can't be that this is the only time that Jesus rejoiced. That would be a real downer, okay? Like, the answer can't be that Jesus only rejoiced this one time and therefore they wrote it this one time. That's not really how the Gospels work. A lot of things actually happen in the Gospels that aren't necessarily written. If you think about it, it really covers a limited period of time in the life of Christ. And we actually know that Jesus, even with the sorrow and the grief and everything that he had, he lived a life of joy. And St. Paul in the letter to the Hebrews tells us that on his way to the cross, he had that joy for the cross that was set before him. So even on his way to the cross, he was filled with joy. So that's not the answer. The answer can't be that this is the only time that Jesus was rejoicing. But this is a time where the gospel writer wants us to pay attention and tells us this is why Jesus is rejoicing today. There's a reason that Jesus is rejoicing, and there's a reason I'm writing it down. It's very intentional. And in order to understand this passage, we have to understand the context of the passage. So this comes to us from Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 28. The beginning of Luke 10 is actually is Jesus sending out the apostles, the 72 apostles, kind of like on a mission trip, okay? And he tells them basically, take nothing with you, and I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves, okay? It's a great pep talk there. Like, everyone is excited to go ahead and do that. And he tells them that. And he says, take nothing with you. Don't worry about it. Like, you're going to be fine. Just go on this trip. And they go, and they preach. They heal. They do all sorts of miracles. They do great things. And they come back rejoicing. Okay, that's what the gospel tells us. They come back rejoicing. And when they come back rejoicing, there's one thing specifically that they're rejoicing about. The rejoicing that the demons or the evil spirits are subject to them. They're rejoicing that the demons or evil spirits are subject to them. And Jesus says, yeah, you can rejoice about that, but there's also like greater things to rejoice about, like the kingdom of heaven, that your names are written in heaven. Jesus tells them that there are great things to rejoice over, but there's this one thing that they are so happy about, is that the evil spirits are subject to them. Like, we went, we saw evil, and we conquered it. If we wanted to answer the question, and kind of goes hand in hand of why they rejoice and why Jesus rejoiced. Jesus rejoices anytime his people are healed, anytime his people are freed from captivity, anytime the truth is preached and people are, you know, who are ignorant about the truth of Christ are now, you know, knowledgeable about who Christ truly is. That makes Jesus so full of joy. But there's a special piece of joy that's even greater than that. It's not just that people are healed or that people are set free. What makes Christ really happy and why he's rejoicing today is when his family, his apostles, and the body of Christ shares in that work. It's not simply that people are freed. Like Christ today, he could have done all of those things. If you remember, he healed a lot of people without even being present. He would heal someone without even being present. So every single person that the apostles healed on these trips, Christ could have done it. Every single sermon, probably done it better. Like, he could have done everything. But there's a special joy when we realize, or when Christ, there's a special joy for Christ when we share in his work, when we're partners in the work of Christ. The strangest thing that you'll never find an answer to, I don't care how many books you read, the strangest thing you'll, like, it's not logical, but the strangest thing is that God wants us to work with him. God wants us to work with him, and he's overjoyed when we work with him, when we're partners with him. And it's not because he needs our help. He doesn't need our help. But there's something special about kind of like being part of the family business, like doing the work of God. And God himself is so joyful when we do that. The work that the apostles did is actually the same work that we are called to do. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I've been around this world long enough, and evil spirits are not subject to me. Okay, like I've walked around this earth. I haven't seen evil spirits being subject to me. How is it that we do the same work? If we wanted to sum it up, what they were doing is that they were confronting evil, not just in their own life, but in the lives of so many other people and giving them hope. That's what they were doing. Someone who is demon-possessed has no hope. Someone who is demon-possessed has no hope. But when they are set free, they're given hope. In those times, depending on the different sicknesses and things like that, someone who's sick, no hope. And they don't have like a concept of eternity yet and all this stuff. So no hope. But when they're healed, they have hope. The job of the apostles, being partners in the work of Christ, was to preach the truth, the knowledge of the gospel to people about who Christ is, and to heal, to confront evil. They were so surprised that the demons or evil was subject to them. And Christ almost says it as like in passing. Of course. That's why I'm here. Don't you understand? Of course the evil spirits are like, that's not even a big deal. Rejoice rather that your name's written in heaven. Like, evil spirits, no problem. I've given you that power. I've given you that authority. And when we hear things like that, we're tempted to think, maybe that's not applicable to us. Maybe, you know what? That's applicable to the apostles in their time, you know, demon possession and things like that. And actually around the world today, there's different things like that that we might not see here today in America. But while we might think that that's not applicable to us, it's actually very practical and very applicable to us. If you notice in the liturgy, there's one prayer that we pray often. Like at the beginning of every service, essentially, we pray the Thanksgiving prayer. And in that Thanksgiving prayer, we say some strange things if you're not familiar with this concept. We say, you know, the priest says that all envy, temptation, the work of Satan, the counsel of wicked men, the rising up of enemies hidden or manifest, take them away from us and from all your people. What are we saying? It's like a magic spell. Like, what are we talking about? And then at the end, he says, but those things which are good and profitable do provide for us. For it is you who have given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. What is he saying? Is everyone here like performing exorcisms? Is that what we're praying about? What are we talking about? We're talking about the faith that we have that since we are in Christ now, evil no longer has a hold on us. Evil is subject to us. We're not scared of evil when we walk in the room as sons and daughters of God. Evil should be terrified of us. That's the mentality shift. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe that they would walk somewhere and evil spirits were subject to them. And he says, of course, that's why I came. You're with me now. The work that I do, you do. You think when Christ walks in the room, evil spirits are excited? They're happy? No, they're terrified. It's that same mentality that we pray that all the powers of the enemy, all that evil that is in the world, is subject to us. You have given us that authority. And we don't use that authority just for us, but we use that authority to heal others. What makes Jesus so happy today is that the apostles finally figured out their destiny. They figured out their destiny. They figured out the secret. That they are co-workers in his ministry. And that applies to every single person here today as well. To set people free, no matter what evil they're going through. To bring a smile on someone's face who's struggling. To preach the truth of Christ, the message of hope. People aren't aware of it. All those things, those are the things that we do to participate in the work of Christ. There are people battling a lot of things in the world. People battling a lot of things in the world. And there's so many hurts out there. But this is the truth that Christ tells us today. That me and you, we have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but that's what we've been given. That's the truth. And we're supposed to take that truth and go out into the world and confront the evil that is around us, that is affecting so many people around us. You know, oftentimes, one thing that I've noticed since I've become a priest is people always ask me, like, you know, like, what's like the most challenging part of being a priest? Or like, what's like the hardest part of being a priest? No one really ever asked me, like, what's the best part of being a priest? You know, people always assume that it's like, you know, miserable. Like, I don't know why. No one ever says, like, hey, what's good about being a priest? So since no one asks, I'll share. Okay. Best part, by far. Even if I'm having, like, a difficult day or I've had, like, difficult conversation, whatever it may be, the best part, best part of a day in a priest, and I'm sure Father Anthony will agree with this, is when you feel like you have truly participated in the work of Christ. Not because anything that's on your own, like, you know you're nothing. But when you feel like God has helped you help someone, that is the best. You can tell me I've had like the hardest day, the most difficult day, a terrible day. If there's one person that I'm like, wow, I really saw the work of God in that person's life and God somehow used me as an instrument in that, that is, wow. Like, that's like the most amazing thing. That to me, that brings me so much joy that I'm able to participate in that. That brings me so much joy. No matter what the day is like otherwise, that brings me so much joy. But it brings God even more joy. And that's why the writer today tells us that he rejoiced in the Spirit, that he leapt for joy. This isn't limited to the sacrament of the priesthood. This is the job of Christians all over the world. The job of Christians all over the world is to see evil and confront evil, knowing that we're not perfect. We're not always going to be, we're not going to always be Christ, but we see evil, we confront evil, knowing that God has given us the authority. God has given us the authority, and we have to believe that. And anytime we don't believe that, we read that again. We pray the Thanksgiving prayer a million times for that reason. God has given us the authority to be co-heirs, to be partakers with him in everything, including his ministry. You're not too weak. You're not intelligent enough. You're not any of those lies, any of those things. You're not experienced enough, not old enough, any of those things. Anyone can have that impact of Christ in their daily life. And every single person that they meet, whatever people are going through, and we may notice, well, we have our own problems. You might not ever find solutions to your own problems, but I promise you can help others. And the more we're focused on others rather than ourselves, we find that our problems become smaller and smaller. That's the reality. The criteria that Christ tells us today, how can we do this? How can we have this authority? What do we need to do? If you notice, after Christ, it says Christ rejoiced in his Spirit. He says the following to the Father. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. The criteria is to be like a child. Criteria is to be humble, to realize that you are nothing, to realize that on your own you can do nothing. On your own, you do not have authority, okay? Don't think that you can go on your own and do crazy things like you can't. But with God, you do have that authority. With God, you have everything. And that's why he says today that you reveal them to babes or to children. Those who the world will look at and say, oh, they're not wise enough. Oh, they're not strong enough. But with Christ, they're stronger than the strong. They're wiser than the most wise. Doing God's work means we join him in freeing people from whatever is holding them back, lifting them up, and returning them back to God. the ministry of Christ, the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the apostles was simply, like we say, healing and all those things. Yes, ultimately, it was reconciliation. It was returning people back to God, whatever people were going through, giving them a message of hope that God applies to their, like the person of God applies to their life, that is all that they need in life to get through. And the beautiful thing is that Christ himself is so humble and so loving that he allows us to do this with him. If you wanted to have that joy in your Christian walk, this is the way to do it. We take example of Christ here who rejoiced over these things. And if we want to leap for joy the same way Christ leapt for joy, is we have to join him in that work as well. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.